And in this, being real spiritual, it is important that we have vision. Because we need to discern good and evil. We need to understand what is spiritual and what is not. We need to rightly discern in God how God views things, not how we view things. And we need to understand what is truth and what is false. And often, in our limited vision, in our flesh, we misidentify evil for good and good as evil. I'd like you guys to turn today to 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. And this is going to be the crux of the message. Give you guys a few minutes to turn there. See, this particular scripture, it's important. And people will be going back to this scripture throughout the whole entire sermon. And it says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into the households and make captive of gullible women, loaded down with sin and led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth." This scripture sums up a whole lot. And more than likely, somewhere along that particular scripture, you sit there and you get a pebble thrown at you and you go, "Oh, that's me! Am I only having a form of godliness? Am I one of those people who is always learning and never able coming to the knowledge of truth? Or am I in one of the categories that are described as what is going to be prevalent in the last days?" See, the goal of this message that God has given to me is to understand a couple things. It's to understand what is about to happen. It's to understand that we are in the last days. That this is on our doorstep. That we are very much in this. It is also to understand how God views the situation. It is also to understand what, as believers, sin does to us. What will happen to us. And lastly, it is to understand what sin, as believers, does to Christ and the free gift that God gave to us. Now, I say everything with "as believers" because this message is not concentrating on when we were before Christ, BC. Because I've sat here and I thought about it and prayed about it and really prayed before God and said, "God, but you know, what about those people who, you know, haven't accepted Christ?" And we are a fortunate congregation that He revealed to me that every person in our congregation has accepted Christ. So before Christ is not important. We've had it all covered in the sin, in the blood. It is past history. What is important is what we are doing with our Christianity now. Okay. Well, that is something that we usually don't talk about in ministry. We glance around, we go ahead, we glaze it up all pretty. We tell you, these are the steps that you take. Here are the three R's. Here are the four goals of vision. various different things, but we tend to, as ministers in general, steer away from the grit and dirtiness of it. We tend to glance over the whole entire thing about sin, about how we are human and we still deal with it. We become loaded down with it. And in fact, there are consequences as Christians to sin. And that we are not like Teflon, where once we come to Christ, His blood covers us and sin completely slides away. Unfortunately, it's not like that. And we tend to not pay attention to that. So, it's important then to cover one basic thing. And that is, what is sin? In Being Real Spiritual, as the message is titled, the very first thing in being real spiritual is having your spiritual eyes open so that you can identify, discern, and plan for what is happening, what will happen, and seek God to bring Himself, to bring you out of the circumstances or bring you through the circumstances. So then, we need to identify sin. What is sin? It's very simple. Sin is whatever God abhors. Whatever will separate us from God. Very, very simple. Hey, that's so simple that even our kids who are 3 know that. Thanks to Miss Irene and the wonderful ladies who teach them in Sunday school. They've got it. They know. If there's something God doesn't like, that is sin. But yet, as we grow older, we continue to struggle with this, and we try to rationalize. But God, it's not quite that bad. But God, it's okay. But God, it's not as bad as what David did with Bathsheba, and he murdered somebody, and all that stuff. All I did was tell a little tiny lie. Well, it starts out with something little, and then it grows bigger, and then it grows bigger. Has anyone ever heard the phrase, "Lead me not into temptation, I can find it all on my own"? Oh, you guys have heard it. Okay. A couple years ago, when I was a teenager, it was actually a t-shirt. And many people would wear it around, and it was very interesting because many guys would usually wear it, and I thought that was pretty funny. Lead me not into temptation, I can find it on my own. But the question is, with Christians, when I saw that, is yes, you can find it, but can you identify it? Do you know it when you're in the midst of it? Can you rightly discern when it is happening right then and there that this is sin? Hindsight is 20/20. That's great, but what about when we're right in the middle of it? Yeah, you kind of scratch your head on that one, like, maybe. So what is sin? As we read in 2 Timothy 3:1-7, it described all the things that will happen in the last days. It described what sin is. But let's take some more on it. Go to 1 Corinthians 5:11. But now I have written to you to not keep company with anyone named brother who is sexually immoral, covetous, or an idolater, or reveler, or drunkard, or an extortioner. Not even eat with such a person. Okay, so now God has given us more onto what he already told us of things to be aware of that are sinful. But also, now he's telling us to not even entertain them, to not even bring them into our house, to not even to allow people who are our brothers in Christ who continue to do this to be in there. And does that mean, since God is saying that I am in sin and doing that? But wait, we're supposed to have brotherly love. Wait a second. This is not making sense. We sit there and throw up the flag. Wait, God, hold on. You're merciful. You're just. You're loving. Wait, this isn't you. When we open the door to that, we are accepting their sin. We are saying that what you do is correct, and we stand for that. When we sit there and say, of course we're your friends, and we're going to be there no matter what you're doing, we're identifying with your sin. And God hates sin. And anything that is sin, God abhors. See, it gets very sticky when you start drawing this line. Because we want to constantly just look at the God of love, the God of mercy. We forget that God is a God of sin. God is a God of righteousness, of holiness, of virtue, of purity. Yes, these all things describe him, but he is the God of those things. Which means he encompasses those things completely. Absolutely. And when we say that we are all his, when we became Christians and we exchanged our lives with him, we said in that act that we no longer find sin acceptable. That we also abhor it. And that it will not find place in our lives. But it's hard because we're human. It's hard because we are in these fleshly bodies. We are not perfect. But yet, we are called to have a pursuit of that standard, to chase after God. That despite the fact that we're human and we still struggle with this stuff, that yes, we will go through it, but we throw it down as soon as it comes to our attention. That we run from those things, that we run from those people, that they will not infiltrate what God is doing in our midst. That God would always be there to protect us, because God cannot be in the same place as sin. We cannot expect God to continue to have his hand over us and be in us as Christians, as people who cry out to him, if we continually identify with sin. Let's go to another scripture. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 10. It's right on the next page, a couple pages over. First Corinthians 6, 9 to 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers. I like to make up my own words. Adulterers. Homosexuals. Sodomites. Nor thieves. Nor covetous. Nor drunkards. Nor revelers. Nor extortionists will inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, so now God is blatantly putting it out on the table. That these people who continue to identify in this sin will not be there. So then, when we continue to sin as Christians, are we going to be there? Are we going to find our names in the Book of Life? Are we going to be found worthy? Are we 100% sure that that's where we're going to be? Well, according to what it says right here, it says those people who are these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that's a problem then. You see, when I'm going to tell you guys a little story. When I was in high school, I had the privilege of going to Ocean City to actually be on a mission trip and go out and do skits and witness to actually people who are in the United States. Because although we are one of the foremost countries to send missionaries out into the rest of the world, who's at home guarding the base and training the people here? And going out and converting those who are lost here. So, a bunch of us went to Ocean City, and I had the privilege of meeting Nolan, and learned a lot of different things. And one of the things that we did is we were in this skit, and it was a courtroom scene. And there was 12 of us, who were jurors, and there was a person playing God, and there was a person who was supposed to stand as any one of us who could be in a room who claimed the name of Christ, and then there was a person who played Satan. And he had this book of everything that was ever written that we ever did. And he showed it to us. The crowds that gathered around the skit. And it had things written. It had all the different sins in it. And he showed it to the jurors. And we passed it around. And we're sitting there with faces that make it look like, oh, this is a grim outcome. This person is guilty for sure. And then a guy who was playing Jesus came in. And simply said, he has accepted me. His name is in the book of life. I have cleansed him from all of his sins. He has repented of all of his sins, and they are no more. And took the book and went backwards, and all the sins were gone. And if you looked into this book and you flipped through it, they were no longer there. It was the same book. It's just you flipped it the different way. But then as I came home and I was praying to God, my question was, well, what about when we sin after that and we just don't repent of it? We sit there and say, God, I'm sorry. God, please forgive me. But we don't walk it completely through. We don't get rid of it. We continue to entertain it. We say, God understands. You know, I've only been saved for 5 years. You know, the guy was too cute. I was hurt. God understands. I ripped a person apart, and now they're in shreds verbally. He understands. I was hurt. I was confused. I didn't know what I was doing, but he just was there. It's not really sin if I talk about a person and they don't hear about it because what they don't know doesn't hurt. Unfortunately, all these things are null and void because God is there 24/7. And He sees them. And He abhors these things. And these things are wrong because God deems them as wrong. So what happens when we deem it as acceptable? To be honest, the scripture is there. It tells us what will happen. But the thing is that we have time now to change it. We have the opportunity to call upon Christ. To say, God, I know it's hard, but I want you to extract this from my life. That God, I know that I'm supposed to be the more spiritual person. And I'm not showing your standard. But God, make me into a better person. Mold me. Use me. Completely rip my life apart and build it back up so that you will be reflected in my life. We have that opportunity now, today. Will we have it tomorrow? Maybe not. Will we have the opportunity in a month? Maybe not. Because as we read in 2 Timothy, those things that are going on, hey, they're going on today. Oh, wait, that means this is the end times. Yes. Which means time is short. Which means time is just about out. The last screen in the hourglass is there. I know for myself, I do not want to take a chance. I do not want to gamble with my salvation. I don't want to have oops happen. Oops. Oops. You see that little dot right there? Yeah, that means you're not in the book of life. Oops, sorry. That's where you were. What do you mean, were, God? I accepted you. Yeah, but you never spent time with me. You never stood up for me. You never proclaimed my name in front of people. You never sat there and said, this is not right. I'm standing for Christ. That this, what we're doing right now, cannot happen. Oops. You're gone. That's all he has to say. That's all he has to think is, oops. He doesn't even have to say it. Be fearful, not of who can destroy the body, but who can destroy the body, the soul, and the spirit. Oops. So then, we come to something that we're familiar with. What we are supposed to travel down. What we have been told so many times by so many people who love us, who are there for us, who are in our corner and say, we are here for you. We do not accept what you're doing, but we love you. We cannot be a part of what you're doing. But the minute you need help to get back on the track with God, we are there for you. The minute that you need help, that you say, you know what, I just need clarity. What way should I go? I need someone to walk this out with me. We're there for you. Those are the people who tell us what this road is. This is the Holy Spirit whispering in our ear, tugging on our heart, knocking. Constantly, while we are in sin, saying, turn around! Hello? Warning! It's the path of righteousness. It is the path that we rebel against. That we want to be unique. That how could it be that simple? That if I go down that road, I will receive a crown of glory. But I will not receive any accolades now. I will probably be despised by my peers as we stand at the fork of the road and look down, we rationalize this. That I will most likely not have riches and will not be popular. We understand that that's what the road is. But we think we have time. We can revert back to that road anytime we want. Right? And time? Time is ticking down. You want to take that gamble? Go right ahead. Me? Not so much. You see, we have that choice, but we know how hard that is. Because we see in the scriptures what Christ had to go through. And he was holy. And he was God in flesh. I'm not. Unless you have Christ in you, then you are. Because Christ is in you. He who is faithful will also do it. He will help you. Yes. We are called. Our Christ. But you know what? We choose not to. We choose to rebel against that so that we can be unique. Unfortunately, the whole entire world is doing that. So are you really unique? No. Sorry. Hate to tell you that. You're not unique when you continue to conform to the world. You can sit there and trick yourself in thinking, well, you see, everybody else is doing it this way, but I'm going to do it that way, and I'm going to get success by doing that. No. Sorry. The thing is, there's only one way. And you get one choice. And that is before your time expires. So let's go on to something happier, which is righteousness. Because righteousness is happier. First Philippians. There's only one. Philippians 2:1-5. Let's go there. It's a good book. We all know this one. Philippians. We know Philippians. Galatians. Ephesians. Philippians. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition, conceit, or in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of us look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery, but be the equal of God. Continue. Let this mind be in you, that it was in Christ. Okay, so we're supposed to love one another. We get back to that and everything. Being of one accord. Go to Philippians 4:8. We know this one. Whatever is pure, whatever is true, whatever is lovely. These all things are of God, who is God of righteousness. This is what we should be implementing into our lives. This is what path we have to choose to go down. But the question remains is that what you're developing in your life? 80% of the time? 90% of the time? 75% of the time? None of the time? righteousness. How badly do you want God? How badly do you want to be before Him? Do you want it 75%? Do you want it 50%? Do you want it 0%? Do you want it 1%? How badly do you want that? This is the road that we have before us. The time is short. Next week, we will find out what our sin as Christians does to Christ and what it does to us. But you have the opportunity today, because you may not have it next week. You may not have it tomorrow. You may not have it 5 minutes from now. Because in 5 minutes from now, God could call holy fire down from the sky and we could all be up and out in here and you'd be there sitting there like, hey, where'd you go? How bad do you want it? Do you want it more than you want yourself? Are you willing to go down that road? Regardless of if God comes back 20 years from now, 5 minutes from now, 100 years from now? Do you want to be absolutely sure? And are you sure that that's where it's going to be? Your name in the book of life. Are you sure? Are you 100% sure? If you're not, are you going to wait to find out? The front is open. If anybody wants prayer, you can come up and have prayer. If you want to be sure about things, come up and pray before God. Don't say, Jesse, I'll wait till I get home so no one can see. Deny God before men. Yada, yada, yada. Yeah, I said that earlier. You really want to take that chance? It comes down to that. How badly do you want Him? Do you want Him to walk that? To really abhor sin? Because that's what it's going to take. Amen. I'm going to put on a song.